Well, Father, we just thank you for the time and the days we're in, Lord. I ask, Father, that you place it in everyone's heart that we are in perilous times. We are in those times that you call the end times, Father. And the only safe place for us to be, Lord, is in your ark, is in the ark of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for placing it in everybody's heart, all people's heart, all the brethren out there, Lord, to get close to you, to draw nigh to you, Father. And I thank you for doing this beforehand. And I praise you, Lord, that you do have faithful servants out there that are praying and interceding for the brothers. And Lord, I just ask that you ramp it up a lot more. A lot of people are in apathy. They're sitting by the wayside. Well, it hadn't happened yet, but so I don't think it's going to happen for a while. But then suddenly, Lord, you show up and judgment comes. And Father, I just ask that you place it in all our hearts to be ready for this time at hand. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a blessed night in your conference call. That fellowship is going to be great. Because we love one another, you're knitting our hearts with that golden thread and pulling it tight. And I thank you for that, Lord. We're becoming that body that you want us to be. We're becoming
all things
in Christ. I want to ask everyone to mute your phones, please. Mute your phones. I'll get yours, Wade.
Would you mute mine?
Yep. And Lord, we just praise you for the work that you're doing in us and the things that are going to be said tonight, Lord. Let it only come from your spirit, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody here with open ears and open eyes in the spirit realm to see what you're saying to us, Lord. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I wanted to kind of say a few things before we really get started here today. Michael Montana and I were talking today, and he brought up the dreams and the visions of Michael Bodea. And I had read them before, but I went back and read them all again. And they are all, every one of them are all warnings, and they come from 2001, I believe. I don't remember, but anyway, from a long time ago. But they are just as appropriate for today as they were back then. And it, the Lord impressed upon me one of them that stood out amongst all of them. And as soon as we... take care of the praying and praying for people. And I know some people probably need prayer, and that's fine. We'll go ahead and take care of that. But I would like to relate this one dream that he had. So with that, let's go ahead and open up and ask if anybody has any prayer requests or would like for us to pray for them. I went ahead and unmuted everybody in case someone needed prayer. So if you need prayer, this is the time. God is merciful. And if you have faith, he'll answer every prayer that we pray. I believe that, and everybody in here believes that when we pray, and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it because God has done it time and time again. He's showing himself strong. He's showing us that he will back up what his word said. We're seeing answers to prayer here, and even on the conference call, he said he would do. He's answering those prayers almost immediately. So, anybody need prayer or would like for us to pray for them?
Brother Michael, this is Judy.
Yes. Yeah, Judy.
I'm getting a sore throat, and I've just gone a lot today, but I'm not receiving it, and I'm not accepting it, and I'm casting it down. So just pray with me that it's going to be completely gone, and I'm not even going to have it at all. In the name of
Amen.
Jesus, I cast out of the demons and evil spirits that are trying to attack me in my throat, and I don't accept you. I cast you away, and I know that you have to go right now back to the pit where you belong. So thank you, Lord, for taking care of me, and I give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe with you, Judy, that you are clean. You're delivered from all of that in Jesus' name, and you're healed. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? I can't tell who that is. You're breaking up quite badly. So you may try something else. See, Tim, can you see who that is?
Yeah, I think that's Marlon.
Marlon? Okay, I don't even see him on here.
Down at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, there they are. There they are. Okay.
Yeah,
Marlon,
it sounds like he called in on the 866 number or on the other number for some reason. He's not able to connect on that.
Well, that is unreal. I don't understand that.
So Marlon, you might want to back out and try the other number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, anybody else while he's coming back in? But we're waiting until he gets back. It won't take him long to get back.
Michael?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
No, this is me, Malcolm.
Oh, hey, Malcolm.
Just wondered if we could remember Stephen, pray for him. He was kind of isolated in there, and he's really missing everybody. So.
Yeah. Why don't you pray for him, Malcolm, and let's believe with you.
Well, my mouth is full of toothpaste. If you could do it, then.
Okay. All right. Father, we lift up Stephen to you, Lord. You know our situation there. And we know you got him in there, Lord, for a reason. And, Lord, we thank you for lifting him up and encouraging him and giving him the words that he used to say and to share. And to also, Lord, to slice and dice the flesh off of him, as you're doing to all of us, Father. And we thank you for the work that you're doing in him. And also, Lord, that the words that he shares are words of life, and that the light that he brings there is going to shine throughout that whole system there, Lord. And we thank you that you're going to open up the opportunities and the doors for him to evangelize and to bring in the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing with him. Lord, place it in our hearts, every one of our hearts, to pray for Stephen while he's incarcerated. And, Lord, we thank you for doing that so that we can lift him up and encourage him with your prayers, and that your angels will be all about him, Lord, to protect him and to encourage him and to give him words of wisdom to share with the other inmates. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
I'd like prayer for my wife and I. We've battled against the spirits that cause mental illness since a young age. And we want to get free from these spirits. And also the spirit of rejection, and mostly for me, the fear of the spirit, the fear of rejection. Is that the name of the...
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Wade and Jeanette to you. And we thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given all of us. And you've given it to Wade and Jeanette both, too, as well.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the bold faith that you're placing that you have increased in Wade and Jeanette through these last couple of years, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in both of them. They've come such a long way here, Lord, and we ask that you complete that process in the name of Jesus. And we take authority over that spirit of mental illness. We command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to go from both of them right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke your attempts to and your activities against them in Jesus' name, and we command you to go from them right now in Jesus' name. And we command that spirit of rejection to go from both of them. Loose yourself from them right now and go in the name of Jesus. And we command that spirit of the fear of rejection to go from both of them right now in the name of Jesus. And we command any kind of fear at all, the spirits of fear, to leave them right now in Jesus' name. Doubt and unbelief, you go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for the fine work you're doing in both of them right now, that they will be a light and a testimony to the people around them in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Wade and Jeanette?
Yes, very much so.
Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're all right.
We're off the medicine. We all want to be on this.
Yeah, the medicine's got to go, too.
Amen. Amen. We take away any effects that the medicine has done to them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for restoring all that the enemy has tried to steal from them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Well, all right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know why. Last week that number worked, but this week it won't again, so I don't know why.
I don't either.
Anyway, I'd like to have you pray for my eyes. My eyes seem to be getting worse. And while I'm on, I just have a praise report. I think it was 2 weeks ago tonight, or maybe 3 weeks, I don't know, when you prayed for my, I had high blood pressure. I didn't even realize I had that. And I went in Saturday when he was in town, went into Walmart and checked it, and it was down to 130, and it had been way up close to 160 before. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Well, Father, we just come together for Marlon's eyes. Lord, he's not under the curse. He never has been under the curse since he's been a child of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come against this attack on his eyes in Jesus' name. We command that those spirits that are trying to take his eyesight from him to hinder his walk with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we command it to go from him right now in Jesus' name. We command those eyeballs to be perfect, 20/20 vision in both eyes in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you've given him faith to believe that that word is true and that he doesn't have any problems with them eyes anymore. And they're not getting worse. They're getting better. They have, matter of fact, they are well. They are healed in Jesus' name, restored as new in Jesus' name. Just like you healed my eyes, Lord, you've healed Marlon's eyes in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for Marlon's great and good eyesight in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Marlon?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
It's Michael Malcolm again.
Yeah.
I've got to get off the call here, but I just wanted to, before I go, I just maybe I can check in a little bit later, but I wanted to just also just bring something to pray about, and that is that one of Stephen's friends there, Chris, also got in contact with me, and because he was moving to a different, over to Kentucky, another facility, and we thought maybe we could send him some, you know, UBM materials, stuff to help him. But he dropped the connection, and I, you know, he has to initiate it again, for me to communicate with him. So anyway, just wanted to pray for him. We don't, okay. You know, neither Stephen nor I know what happened to him. And then also one more thing. Yesterday, I saw the. I just looked at the clock and it said 9/11. So it just kind of made me, you know, when you see something like that, you kind of think about things. So
yeah, that's it. I got a verse yesterday that was 9/11. What's the guy's name and Stephen's friend?
I think it's Chris. His last name's kind of long. I can't remember right offhand. I don't have my computer running, but
okay.
Anyway, I know the Lord will make all arrangements It's just the way the prison communication system works. Is the prisoner has to initiate contact, and if he severs that connection, then you can't talk to him. I mean, it works the same both ways. So
yeah.
So, and I never actually got to make contact with him. So, but we kind of arranged it ahead of time. Stephen had worked it out, and something happened. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Father, we just lift up Chris to you. That's Stephen's friend. You know him, Lord. You know what's going on there. And, Lord, we just ask that you take care of him, that you wrap him up in your arms, let him know that that you've got him in it, under your control, not under the system's control, but you've moving him to wherever it is you need him to work, Lord, and we just praise you for that. Lord, and we just ask that you open up communication if the need is there and he needs some material, Lord, that you would open up the avenues for him to receive that in Jesus' name. Lord, we're just looking forward to the testimonies from Chris and Steve both in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, I just want to pray. The Lord put me in touch with somebody, and what I'd like to do is, they shared a testimony with me, but I'd ask this person to see if they'd be willing to share their testimony, to pray about it, and so I'd like to pray, because this testimony blessed me, and I really don't want to get into it, because it would be better if this person shares it, but it really rocked me. You know, as far as just, I mean, it was just awesome. It was just, this person was just at the, you know, just the pit of their life, and the Lord spoke to them, and, you know, just lift them right out of the miry clay, you know. It was just an awesome testimony. But I just want to pray that the, just pray over the situation. So, Father, I just lift up this person to you, Lord, and I just bind and rebuke the principalities and power from bringing any fear. I just come against fear right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you, just put on this person's heart to be comfortable, to share their testimony. And I know it will bless many. And Lord, I just ask you, just work in them and just give them confidence and just bind up the lies of the enemy, Lord. Because there's people that need to hear this testimony. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him forth. Let's hear that great testimony. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anyone else? You know, on these conference calls, I want to ask you all to do something. I know we've asked you to pray for these conference calls before, but I'm going to ask that you pray earnestly and fervently before the conference calls on Tuesdays and Thursday nights to pray to the Lord about these conference calls and ask him to anoint each and every one of us to share whatever it is that he wants us to share. And if he just wants us praying in the background, let's do that as well. So with that, I'm just asking you to pray for the conference calls. This has been a blessing to a lot of people. It's a blessing to Tim and I both. And I know it is to most of y'all, if not all of you. So that's what I would ask you to do, is just pray for us. I generally pray before the conference call for quite a while, and I've seen the anointing come in when we do pray. So when we all pray, boy, just guess what, man, ain't no telling what happened. We're liable to just end up translated to one another's house there, you know. You just never know. He's got okay. I need everybody to mute. Everybody, is there anybody that doesn't know how to mute your phone? Leona?
I don't. Yes,
okay. I'll get you muted. And a way to get out from being muted is star, I believe. Isn't that right, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
it'll actually tell you when we mute you, it'll tell you how to unmute, but it's star, star.
Yeah, star, star. Okay. Well, like I said before, I was praying, and I had read these visions and dreams that Michael Bodea had, and one that really stood out to me is the one he calls the house that stood. He said, I dreamt I was walking down a street, but to the left and to the right of me, everything was utterly destroyed. If not for the foundation sticking out of the earth, one would not have known anything had once stood there. I have seen the aftermath of earthquakes while living in California in the 80s. I have likewise seen the aftermath of tornadoes live and in person, and this looked like neither of the two. The best way I can describe it is that the entire street seemed to have been razed. From trees to homes to fences, everything had been flattened and annihilated. The street curved to the left, and as I followed it, turning the corner, I was surprised to see a house standing a couple of hundred yards ahead of me on the right. There was nothing special about the house, a single-story home with a porch and a porch swing, once painted white by what I could gather, but having taken on a charred look. I quickened my pace, as even in my dream, this seemed odd and surreal. And as I approached the house, I heard what could only have been prayer coming from inside. This was no typical prayer. It was passionate and fervent. And the only time I remember having heard prayer like this is when we would have prayer nights in our home in Romania during the communist occupation. And this was anything but a restrained prayer gathering. And the voice coming from inside the house were praising God and giving glory to Him. I stood just short of the front step and listened to the prayers coming from within the house until in my dream, I woke up. As I awoke from my dream within a dream, the man I have grown accustomed to seeing was standing at the foot of my mattress. He said, "Do you understand what you've just seen?" he asked without prelude. "I believe I do," I answered somewhat confidently. The man gave me a look one might give to a slow-witted individual and said, "Perhaps in part," then reached out and touched my shoulder. Suddenly, I was back on the same street, and I realized this only because of the house with the porch swing. Now, a pristine white. It was the only thing that was the same as in my previous dream, because now there were trees and homes up and down the block. It looked and sounded like a typical neighborhood, but above the din of chirping birds and barking dogs, I could hear prayer coming from inside the home with the porch swing. It was the same kind of fervent, passionate prayer I had heard on previous occasion. I strained to hear what they were praying for, but I could only hear snippets from time to time. As I made to climb the first three steps, I was back in my bed with the man standing patiently by my mattress. "Now you understand," he'd said. "Tell them not to fear, but to draw close to the Father, in whom is shelter from the storm and protection from destruction." I then woke up disoriented, wondering for a while if this was yet another dream within a dream. Realizing that it was not, I knelt beside my mattress and started to pray. I have not released a dream or a vision in 2 years, and if not for the specific instruction, "Tell them," I would have been hesitant in releasing this dream as well. As I explained in a recent radio interview, the reason why I have not released any visions or dreams is because many within the household of faith have become, for lack of a better term, prophecy junkies. At every gathering, at every meetings, there's always the inevitable. "What's the Lord been showing you lately?" As though He hasn't shown us enough, or as though His word is not clear enough. I specifically ask permission of God to withhold what he was showing me for a season and have single-mindedly focused on preaching Christ and him crucified wherever I was asked to preach, because our safety, our shelter, and our protection is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and King, praise God. Our refuge, our shelter, our place of safety is not a geographical location. It is in the arms of Jesus, in the will of God, in fellowship and intimacy with him. If we are walking in the will of the Father, then we ain't got nothing to fear. If we're being obedient to his word, his guidance, and his leading, then wherever he will guide us will be a safe place. And wherever he will lead us will be a place of shelter. Our safety is found in obedience. If God has told you to go to a certain place, then do as he has commanded. If, however, God has not spoken, then be at peace where you are, for God is able to protect you in the midst of the storm. It's time to draw closer to God than ever before, to come before him in prayer and fasting, in righteousness and purity of heart. The day draws near when we will behold the miracle-working power of our God firsthand, when we will see what our God can do and glory in his omnipotence. And he quotes Psalms 18, 25 through 30. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And then he quotes Psalms 24, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. With love in Christ, Michael Boldea Jr. If you don't know who Michael Boldea was, he was the grandson and English interpreter for Dmitri Dudeman, who was a prophet of God brought to us from Romania back in the 80s and 90s. 70s, 80s, and 90s, I guess. And with that, I asked the Lord, and have been praying since then, and the Lord gave me to quote Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through the end of it. And I'm going to do this. I hope you don't mind. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Praise God for everything. When you're in the storms, praise God. Praise him for everything. That's what he's talking about here, abounding in thanksgiving. You praise God when the trials come on you, because when you come out the other side, you're going to be a better man or a better woman in Christ. Verse 8, take heed lest there shall be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Listen, most of these apostate churches are bringing in another Jesus. You don't need to be in there. You need to have your head stuck in the word. 24/7. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision, not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is Christ. Let no man rob you of your prize by a voluntary humility and worshiping of the angels, dwelling in things which he has seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast the head, from whom all the body, being supplied and knit together through the joints and bands, increasing with the increase of God. If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to the ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using after the precepts and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and severity to the body, but are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh? What he's talking about there is get rid of the world and the self in your life and take on Jesus. That's it in a nutshell right there. Get rid of everything in your life that's steering you away from God Almighty. If there's a TV in front of you more hours than you are in the Word of God, get rid of it. Had you rather watch TV to hell? Get in the Word to heaven with God. Know God with all your heart, all your mind. Run after him just like the Shulamite bride. Just go for God. Go for God with all of your heart. We're coming into this time now that is going to be very perilous for those who have their heads stuck in the sand and don't believe. You know, we have people that, you know, you've been talking about this. You've been talking about judgments coming, judgments coming, judgments coming. For many years now, judgment hasn't come, so we just don't believe. Well, let me tell you something. He said it's going to come in a time when you know not. It's going to come when you're not ready. If you're not ready, you know what I mean. But I'm praising God because I know that most of you, if not all of you, are striving after Christ with all your heart. This is the time, folks, to get right with the Lord. This is the time, folks, to put everything else aside that's hindered your walk and to run after the Lord God Almighty with all your heart. With all your heart. Forget that these trials and these tribulations are coming upon you because those are perfecting you in Christ. They're getting rid of the flesh in you as you praise God for these trials, as you praise God for these persecutions. He said, praise me in everything, in the storms, on the mountaintops and in the valleys too. Because it's all, every bit, everything that comes around you is to perfect you in Christ. And once you get a hold of that, once you grasp that, then you'll have that rest that we all long for, that joy and that peace in our hearts with Christ, because we know that he's doing it for a reason. And that reason is to perfect each and every one of us in him so that we can be a light when this darkness completely overcomes this world. You'll be a light and you'll be able to bear fruit for the people around you and show them that light and what that light represents. You'll be able to go out and do the signs and wonders. to bring people into that light. Amen. That's just some of what I wanted to share tonight, but I wanted to give everybody a chance to respond and to comment if they'd like.
Michael, I just like the line, safety is in obedience. It's so
Amen.
Important that we're obedient to the Lord. That's usually where we fall short, is lack of obedience or getting sidetracked with our flesh. So that really stuck with me.
Well, that's truth. That's what the gospel is about, is obedience to Christ and obedience to his commands. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. And that's the trials and the persecutions that we go through, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Listen, if you've got a steadfast faith, you're steadfastly holding on to the benefits that the Lord's promised you. And if you're doing that, you're being patient in your faith. And if you're giving up in the midst of that trial, if you're throwing in the towel, you're like those three out of four in the parable of the sower that ain't going to make it. But I know you're not. Anybody else? Man, I could get carried away here and get on, go on, go on. I better let other people talk.
How do you spell that guy's last name again? Michael Bodea. How is that spelled?
Bodea. Hand of Help Ministry. Anybody got any comments or would like to ask any questions or?
Yeah, Michael, I was looking at his website recently, and he the last blog I read was that the same thing that you just were saying or reading, that people, because of his walk with the Lord, people keep asking him, well, what's the word of the Lord? What are you hearing from the Lord? And just like you said, that was frustrating to him, because there's a lot of hearing, but there's not the hearkening. And the other thing that really I've been thinking about recently, because I went to some meetings that were not spirit-filled, and I found myself quite upset by a number of things, but the idolatry for one. But there is this, people have, because of their walk or not walk with the Lord, there's this great dependence on certain key people who are walking with the Lord, and there's this continuing people wanting to be baby fed and find somebody who is hearing from the Lord, and as we all know, that's just not going to cut it when things get hard. And that's what the whole, if you read the epistles and look at how the church, early church operated, everybody had the gifts of the Spirit. And I mean, not everybody, I'm just saying that generally speaking, people were walking in the gifts, were hearing from the Lord. And, the way Acts is written, you can tell it's primarily a diary of Paul, but there's also the guy that anointed Paul, and the Lord came to Paul, to this other gentleman, was it Ananias? I forget. Told him to go to this specific location and lay his hands on Paul, and he objected, of course. But that gives you an idea. What about that guy? I mean, that guy has a whole book. He could have written a book, somebody could have written a book about his acts. What about all the other Christians? Or the followers of Christ at that time. So that's where God's bringing us all now, is back to where his people are walking with him and hearing from him and aren't dependent on these key singular people who are hearing. We all need to be hearing.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, if you're not hearing, you need to seek the Lord with all your heart and start hearing. Listening to the Word, listening to God, because He's talking every day. Praise God. get in that word, put that word in your heart. One of these days, you're not going to have that word to put it in your heart, and you need to put what you need, as much as you can in there right now. Get in that New Testament and just bear down and ask the Lord to help you out there. And guess what will happen? He'll help you. Any comments, any testimonies, anything, whatever you want to share.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Chris.
I wanted to thank you for what you shared. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing Brother Michael's dreams. If you read all of them, it can quite bless you and get you to meditating and thinking about the Lord and what's coming. But I also wanted to thank you for sharing back on the 21st. You shared on the conference call about the sin of, what was it? Not praying.
Prayerless life.
Yeah. I want to thank you for sharing that, and because it convicted me to the point that I don't pray enough. And I got to the point where I was thinking about, the scripture says to pray without ceasing, and the only way that we can commune with and see and enjoy and walk in the Spirit and in the power and the gifts of God is by unceasing, undistracted prayer all the time. And with the things that are coming, I was really convicted by what you shared and what some of the other brothers had to share with having the sin of a prayerless life. And I was thinking that, if I have a prayer request or a prayer need, I can text any of my UPN brethren, or you or Aaron or Jackie or anybody, and we can go to prayer for one another. And that is such a privilege, and it is such a blessing. And a testimony that I would share would be that probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, my wife and I have a friend of ours. She's 22, and she all but died in a gym while she was working out, and she was on all this machinery and all this life support systems. And I called our brother Michael in Montana, and we joined in prayer, and he prayed. And this 22-year-old girl who should have died is fixing to walk out of the hospital here soon. And if we stay in alert, non-distracted prayer at all times, the things that are coming, we can be joyful, and we can be obedient to the scriptures, and we can learn from one another. And it's such a privilege and such a blessing to be the body and to pray together, to be together, and to share together. And I just wanted to thank you for bringing that up and bringing it forward.
Amen. It helped me too, Chris. It helped me too. It helped me get back on track with my prayer life.
I would go so far as to encourage anybody, if they heard it and weren't able to concentrate, or if they haven't heard it, to go back. It's on April the 21st conference call, and you start sharing what you shared about the 55-minute mark.
Yeah, and Michael Montana had a great follow-up with that, and also Malcolm, and I don't know, it might have been
and
a
David
more.
Nelson. It was,
and David Nelson.
Yeah, David Nelson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen, so brother. Yeah, thank you.
It was a good night. Really was. Praise God for it. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael. This is Michael Montana.
Yes, sir.
I just want to share a little bit. I just kind of have a burden in my spirit. There's a word in 1 Peter 1, and it says, I don't know what verse, but it says this: wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all of your conversation. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges every man according to his work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. I'll just stop right there. If there's anything that I know, it's that we must be sober. This is a very sober time. You know, he said in 1 Corinthians 7, the time is short. Let them that are married be as though they're married not. Those that buy as though they possess not. There's a time at hand right now. The Lord speaks of the night when no man works. And I believe with all my heart that there's a great, great shaking. We heard about it. We've talked about it. But some of the scriptures that I've read lately, there is a tremendous, you know, it says in, I think it's the second chapter of Isaiah, when he talks about, and they shall go into the holes and in the caves, holes of the rocks and the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. The Lord is getting ready to shake everything that can be shaken. He's going to shake everything in the earth. He's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake every bit of fluff out of us. Anything that's not founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, is coming down. You know, and he said, there will not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. That's the kind of shaking in the spirit and in the natural that's getting ready to take place. And the enlarging that's going on in my spirit right now, I can't really even assimilate what I'm sensing by my spirit, except that when the Lord speaks words that we've heard 100 times that said, and then they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and they will kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, but he that endures until the end shall be saved. When he says you'll be hated of all nations, there's one thing that's consistent. It says in the scripture that the devil is thrown down to the earth, and it says, and he's come down with great wrath, knowing he has but a short time left. So woe be to you inhabitants of the earth and the sea. It says the devil's going to be able to make war with the saints and overcome them, but they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When the Lord Jesus said that there shall be tribulation so great such as never was since the beginning of the world or ever again shall be, and except those days would be shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's a realm of intensity that I think none of us really have anything to reference with. We have no point of reference to speak of that. I can read history and can't imagine the madness when they were burning everybody at the stake that didn't go along with the Catholic Church, and when and on and on and on, you know, the conquerors that went through and just slaughtered whole nations. This is a time of intensity, and I know in my heart that to whom much is given, much is required. And this nation that has the brass to write "In God We Trust" on our dollar bills and abort half of the babies that are conceived in the nation, and then say it's illegal to pray, but you have to teach homosexuality to grade school children. We're in a time of when the Lord shakes this land. You're not going to comprehend the shaking and the intensity. You're going to see things that you can't comprehend, that you've never even dreamed, or your imagination never went that far. And I've just been getting a strong glimpse in my spirit of the day we're coming into. And I'm not in a place where I think that I'm bulletproof in any way. I'm crying out to God for a deeper reality in my own experience and for a sure foundation on the rock, Christ Jesus, and that it would be truly not in theory, but no longer I that lives, but Christ himself that lives this life in this vessel. We have one short run before we're all going to be before the mighty God, and it's a very intense hour that we come to. This is the most intense hour in human history, and you've been chosen for such an hour as this. And God's grace will be great upon those that avail themselves, but I tell you what, you cannot be messing around right now. You cannot be messing with TVs. You can't be messing with games and stuff. We really need to be in a place where we are fixed on eternal things, where our eye is single, where our vision is clear, and that everything that offends us gets the knife. We cut it off. Anything that separates us from Christ, separates our affections and our time and our resource from the things that count, which are eternal, we have got to put the knife to it, because we're about ready to get fire tested, brothers and sisters. And I know that, as I said before, there's enough fluff in my life to make a pillow out of. And I know that there's, with all of us, we don't really know what we got until it's fire tested. You know, the vehement testing is how foundations are revealed. And we're still at a time where we still can eat what we want, drive where we want to go, and do what we want. But there's a tremendous time coming. And I just believe with all my heart that gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. You know, the scripture says that. And have the fear of God right now. We desperately need that. We need to take time. If you don't have time, if you're too busy to really get in the Word and for prayer, your priorities are totally screwed up. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with time. We all have the same amount of hours in a day, 24 hours a day. And if you take a pie chart, you'll find out somebody else is eating the pie. And it's a most sober time. And brothers, you're going to see betrayal on a mass scale. This nation is so fluffy. The religious people in this nation are so fluffy. On a spiritual level, they couldn't beat the way out of a wet paper bag, a good part of this religious realms that we are familiar with. And brothers, there's going to be such mass betrayal. Wormbrand spoke in his community in Romania when he was in a strong fellowship in Romania. And he said when the Russians and the Nazis came in, 50% of his fellowship betrayed each other unto death. So brothers, we've got to count the cost. Some people will certainly be delivered. I'm not saying that that is not the case, and there is also going to be a lot of martyrs. But it behooves us to arm ourselves with the mind to suffer and to stand no matter what the price tag is, trusting that God himself is in control of the affairs of our life. And we can say with the Lord Jesus to Pontius Pilate, you have no power whatsoever against me unless it's given of my Father in heaven. But brothers and sisters, I know in my heart that we have all of us have varying degrees of mixture in our heart. And the best thing we can do right now is with all of our heart cry out to God to bring light in every dark place of our heart, to take and shine his light in every closet, open the doors and say, come in, Lord, come in by the Holy Spirit, come in with fire, purify and purge, fall on this rock now and be broken. Because the rock's about ready to fall on everything and crush it to powder. And I read so many scriptures about there's one thing that's consistent throughout the Word. Behold, the day cometh. There's a day coming, and it's here. Michael Bodea said, the end of what Malcolm was sharing, that he said, everybody's asking me continually, what's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? He said, he's been saying for a long time, nobody's listening, but I'll tell you what he's saying now. Fulfillment, everything that's been spoken is now here. It's not coming. It's not down the road. It's here. And brothers and sisters, buckle your seatbelts, get your eyes on Christ, arm yourself with the mind to suffer, cry out to God for the reality of that pearl of great price that's worth the value of selling everything you have to possess that eternal kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like that pearl of great price. That eternal kingdom, as he said in the 14th chapter of Acts, I think 22nd verse, it says, Paul went to Iconium, Antioch, and Lystra, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, it's going to be through much tribulation. There's nobody going to slide on into the great glory of God. Nobody's going to slide into heaven from here on out. Everything here is going to be fire tested, brother. We're coming into a time of intensity when everything that can be shaken will be shaken, when you're going to have people betray you left and right. There are some of us that are on this conference call that will probably be martyrs. And we need to arm ourselves with the mind to suffer and count the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And as Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill your body and have no power after that. But I'll tell you who you fear. Fear him who after he's killed has power to cast into hell. I tell you that is who you fear. And the only one we need to fear, we don't need not fear men. Because it's going to be the momentum of this darkness that's coming on the earth, and the greatness of the deception, that Jesus himself said that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Great signs and wonders, mighty manifestations, the angels that are in the second heaven being cast to the earth and doing their work right down here, manifesting themselves with great signs and wonders and tremendous warfare against the saints of God. But brothers and sisters, as one brother said with a vision of the end days, he said the Lord spoke clearly to them, and that vision's beyond the veil, that except a man was full of the Holy Ghost, he would not last 1 hour. That's the intensity we're coming to. You can't slide on. Some of us have slid along and just kind of drifted. You drift now, you're going to sink. Your boat's going to sink. You cannot drift. You've got to be harnessed to the eternal Spirit of God. You've got to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. God has got to be your defense, your protector, your healer, your righteousness, your strength, and your very redemption. It's got to be not a theory, but fire tested, because we're coming to a time right now, you don't know what you got. It says the house on the rock and the house in the sand. It's the doers and the hearers. But the only thing that revealed them is the great shaking, and it's the great shaking that's going to reveal exactly what's there. And there's a lot of people who are going to get into heaven with their works, with smoke curling off their hindquarters, and all their works burned before them. And there's going to be some who have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom, because their life was, they lived to do the will of God. They have no will of their own. They say, Christ, not my will, but yours be done. Be glorified in me, whether it be by life, by death, it doesn't matter, but be glorified in my life. But I encourage you, if I've never encouraged anything, you've got to be sober. You've got to be single-eyed. You've got to cast off everything that draws you aside from the left to the right, because, brother, it's not coming. It's here, and the intensity of it, as David Wilkerson said, the intensity of what's coming to this land will stagger the godliest person in the nation.
Amen. It's coming. It's here. Hey, Michael's right. It's here. This judgment that God has against the church first is here. We need to get ready. All right, anybody got any comments or anything they'd like to share? Thank you,
Brother.
Michael. Yeah, go ahead.
What Michael said on Saturday, I spent my time in the Lord in the morning, on Saturday morning, I got that scripture. It just came to me in my mind, be ye holy as I am holy. Because I was asking the Lord about, I was just asking him, what does he want me to do or whatever, you know, and that scripture came to me, be ye holy as I am holy. And then a few other things came, and then this song came, Humble Yourself in the Sight of the Lord. You know that song?
Yep.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you, he will lift you up. But I just wanted to speak that to confirm what Michael had said. I feel
Amen.
Like that's...
What's that? Amen,
sorry,
Sue. Amen, Sue. That's probably somebody in your background there. Well, thank you, Lord. Yes, be ye holy even as my Father is holy. And he's holy. And
Michael,
the way we're holy. Yeah.
Now, this is Malcolm again. I just, you know, with, of course, as you, many of you know, my heart's close to Nepal because I spent my teenage years there. And so with this earthquake, I've been quite involved calling people and trying to find out who, you know, there's some people that we know that I grew up with that I was been praying for but I found out they're okay. But anyway, one of the things that was so interesting to me, as I've said before there, I've been in temples and monasteries in Nepal and sensed this evil presence, and once or twice, my brother and I were chased out of temples by demons, totally terrified when we were quite small. And ironically, I would take church, denominational church leaders on tours of these temples, which is why I lost a year of schooling. But what's interesting about this earthquake is some of these century-old, many, many century-old temples came down because of their construction, you know, bricks without rebar and stuff like that. And a lot of these temples just flattened and are really terribly damaged. And which seems interesting because God, I believe God's taking down the idols, and now is no time for idols. And I was at some meetings this weekend in which I haven't been around some of these meetings for a while, but it just seemed like, well, it was just abject idolatry. And I thought, it was just, the cry of my heart was, God, just take, get rid of this idolatry, just get rid of it, you know. And I think that's what, you know, and some of these people can be so incredibly sincere, and they seem to be following the Lord, serving the Lord, and yet they're involved in idolatry, and sincerity just isn't going to cut it. If the idols are there, they're, you know, you're a marked man, because God doesn't, you know, it's really the end of idols now. And, you know, I guess I don't have mixed feelings about what happened in Nepal with these temples coming down, because those demons have kept the people under this terrible rule in the caste system, and the whole, you know, you pigeonhole people and they can never get out of that, as Howard Pittman saw in his, the revelations that he got, this, the caste system is just a reflection of the demonic power structure within the demonic forces. And there's been so much suffering, so much pain, just the most terrible things that have been the result of some of these religions. You know, I felt so strong in my heart this weekend. I wanted to see an end of this religion. I wanted to see the tables turned. And yet, the other question I had is, am I ready? Am I up to this? Can God use me to deal with this? Or or did I just simply come out from among them and be separate, and yet I didn't go on with the Lord and continue on in the Spirit? I think it's wonderful to come. We've got to be obedient and come out, but on the other hand, God's calling us to continue on and fly away with me. Go, well, not, I'm not talking rapture, but Jesus does, I mean, in the Song of Solomon, the call is to come away, the spring, you know, the turtle doves and the spring scents and the buds and all the stuff, springtime, come away with me. And that's the call, is to come away with the Lord. So on one hand, it is important to recognize the idols, but on the other hand, we have to come out and follow. It's not just coming out and get stranded. God said, I will not leave you orphans. I will be a father unto you. So,
amen. That's right. Well, yeah, you quoted something. Michael quoted something a while ago, and this is what we should do. And this is in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, and it says, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, Mount Zion, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We need to be climbing that mountain. And the way we do that is in the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God, climbing the mountain of God, climbing to the top. You know, there was a great parallel, a good parallel that Rick Joyner wrote many years ago. He's fallen off into some bad stuff now, but back then he had a book called The Call, and it was the climb on to the top of the mountain. And people would have to get rid of stuff to go the next little bit up the mountain. They'd get up the mountain and they'd slide back down because they had too much weight on them. They had too much garbage hung on them. And then they get rid of some more, and then they go on up a little further, and then they slide back down a little ways because he had still had too much weight. And when two of them finally made it to the top, there was one more hurdle to make, and that was a small swinging bridge to go to the very top of the mountain. And both of them had a suitcase in a small suitcase bag, real small. But you couldn't take that suitcase with you to get across to the top of Mount Zion. One decided to leave the suitcase behind and climb to the top, and the other one couldn't do it. Do you want to get rid of that suitcase? And that's the world and self. That's what that is. That's the world and self. You must get rid of. You must allow God to take care of the self and the world out of you. And he'll do it if you just believe him for it and keep your mind in the Word of God. Because he's going to judge between the nation, and he's going to decide concerning people who is going to be worthy of Mount Zion, who's not going to be worthy of Mount Zion. Okay. All right. Anybody else like to share?
Yeah, Michael. I just going to share the verse I got this morning, which lines up with what you're talking about. It's in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober unto prayer."
Amen. That's exactly what we've been talking about tonight, Marlon, as you well know. And verse 8 says, "Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins." You know, a lot of times you can tell whether somebody loves the brethren or not. Do they come to fellowship? Do they fellowship with the brothers? Do they share everything that they have? Do they share themselves with the brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do you just attend to self? As Christians, we are to serve our brothers and sisters. When somebody has a need, we go to them. We're supposed to go to them. We're supposed to give of ourselves 100%. That's what Christ did. He gave of himself. And that's what we do. And as we do that, that love solidifies the body of Christ. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when this time comes, this shaking comes, and there are a few, a remnant here and a remnant there that are coming together, and God has brought them together to disciple these people that are coming in. Well, these people that are coming in are going to have baggage on them like you've never seen, and that's why God has placed his love in his people, in his remnant, so that they can love them. Even, you know, they're going to come in with tattoos on them. They're going to come in with studs and things hanging all off their body. And we're going to have to see, Tim always talks about seeing people in the spirit rather than in the flesh. When you see people in the spirit, you see the spirit of Christ. You don't see the flesh. And so that's how God is bringing it. He's knitting our hearts together. You know, we're going to come from all kinds of backgrounds. We're going to have drug addicts coming in here, ex-drug addicts, because God's going to set them free, coming into to places. We're going to have thieves and murderers and all kinds of, you know, people who the Lord has shook to the core of their being, and they're running after the Lord. And they're still going to have a lot of flesh on them, but that's why we're getting rid of the flesh now, so that we can minister to these people that are coming in and have that love of Christ in them, where we don't see their flesh. We see the Spirit of Christ in them, and we go by that rather than what we see with our natural eyes. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Testimony time. Praise
Michael.
Time. Yeah.
Did I hear somebody else there? I don't want to.
No, I think you were it.
I've been thinking about idols, and I just think of my own background. It was from 1995 until
probably 2008 that it took that long for me to start, from the time I started seeing that there was problems to the time I finally realized it was abject idolatry. So it was many, many years, but and it took me many years of study to even come to some of the conclusions that I finally realized this is so much a hogwash. And excuse me. But so what I in my flesh I or in the natural I tend to be concerned about, you know, here time is going on and we're getting closer and closer to this time, and I have all these people that I'm concerned about, praying for, who show no indication of even realizing that these are idols, you know what I'm saying? And who are just kind of, I mean, they're hard, just religious spirits big time. And they seem to be getting more and more taken of these spirits. But I think about a friend of mine in Nepal. He was about my age. One time he came to our house. He wasn't a Christian, just a Hindu. And I mean, not just a Hindu. He was a Hindu. But he came to our house one time, and he told, you know, my mom, and I think my brother and sister were sitting there listening to him, and he said, he was all animated, and he said he was telling about his deep convictions about one time he went up to this, in Nepal they have little isolated places where there are rocks, where they do what they call puja, which is worshiping, and, you know, which is red dye, and this white rice, kind of a rice paste, and different things to do for puja. Anyway, he came across one of these rock things, and he was filled with such anger and rage against this idol and this whole Hindu stuff. And he didn't know anything, really, but he felt such rage against it that he just smashed into that thing and just tore it all up. And, you know, if anybody in Nepal had found out about that, that had any kind of, you know, if that had ever gotten out, he probably would have been killed. But, I mean, goodness, if you're driving along and you happen to hit a cow, it's a death sentence for you, because if people find out about it, they'll chase you down and kill you because you killed a cow. So, but anyway, I just think about how it seemed like the Lord brought this great conviction on this young man, and totally threw out all the idols in his mind, at least at that time. I don't know how he's doing now, but I think we just have to wait on the Lord for a lot, like you were saying, people that come in with all the tattoos and all the different baggage. To our human minds, it's hard to imagine all these idols being overthrown in a very quick succession, especially when some of us have taken so long to try to sort out in a reasoned way why what isn't so isn't so. You probably heard the phrase, why we know what isn't so. Kind of a joke, but anyway.
Amen. Amen. Did you have something, Greg? Oh, where'd it go? Oh, well. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll share a dream I had last night. It was confusing, but I think it makes a little more sense right now. It was just before I woke up, and I was in a basement of a house, and all of a sudden this guy comes into the basement, but through the window, one of the windows on the side of the, in the upper level of the basement itself, but it's a window to get into it. And I thought, what is this guy doing coming in the window of the house? So I quick grabbed him. Like, I thought, what are you doing? And I would question him, well, why are you here? What are you doing? Why are you coming in the window like this? And it was a young man, and I could see, you know, he didn't have a real polished look about him. He actually looked like he'd been kind of like a street person a little bit, and I was real, you know, inquisitive about what's this guy all about. Is he a Rami? What's he? Who is he? What? And I was kind of stern with him, but I was trying to figure out. And then I got the feeling, and after talking to him a little bit, he needed help, and he was somebody with, you know, looking for help, desiring change in his life, but I was still, you know, even though I was there and I was going to help him out, I was still keeping an eye on him, you know, looking him over, you know, making sure that's what he was really there for. And then eventually, somehow, I had him come back a second time. He came back a second time. Again, I was on him to find out where, you know, find out more about him. I was real intense with this guy to make sure that's what he was all about. He was there for help. And I noticed he had some things on his face, cut like it was a modern look, like there'd be things people would put on their faces, kind of like tattoos or something. But these were like things that were stuck on the side of his face. And I said, "What are those? Just remove those. Get that stuff out of your face." When he removed them, there were bumps on his face, like he'd been beat up pretty hard through life. And, initially I was trying to think, Lord, why am I having this dream about this guy? Well, who is he? And is it somebody I'm abusing? Or is it something you're telling me I've got to be lighting up on people? Or what is this? But now I can see what you're talking about with this. We're going to be around people of all walks of life that are coming looking for the Lord. And they're going to be well beat up from life. And they're going to be scared, and they're going to be needing counsel. They're going to be at a level that's, you know, starting out, but they've been just kicked around hard, and they're coming in, you know, however way they get to us to get there, and we're going to be right there on top of them to grab them and pull them right to us, you know, and then find out if they're serious about what they need. And they're going to be very honest and open, but scared and frightened, but at the same time very docile, because they've been pretty much beat up from the world, and they came out of the world to come to us. That's kind of what I'm thinking the dream might have been, especially with our conversations tonight, because that's the only way I can make sense of this. Just thought I'd share that real quick.
Amen. Well, it seems to me that the basement represents a place of hiding, maybe, and the Lord will only bring those of Christ to you in those places of hiding. When I say hiding, you know, I mean in Christ, liable to be in the wide open space, but you're going to be praying just like that house was standing when everything else was raised. It's going to be the people that have been praying before the storm that are going to make it through the storm. So, yeah, praise God. That's awesome. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Sure, kind of a, I don't know, I guess it's a little bit of a testimony, but I got a call today from a young man who's, he's probably, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, younger guy, you know, he is a believer, kind of a baby Christian, and he called me up today and he said, told me about a dream he had. And he said he was just walking along, and this guy grabbed him from behind, grabbed his shoulders, spun him around. And he said, the only thing I can remember is what he said to me. He said, I didn't know who this guy was, but all I can remember is what he said to me. And he told me that I must die to live. That's all he said to me. He said, but I don't know who this guy was. I said, well, I know who that guy was.
Amen.
And it just opened up the door for me to just, you know, just speak into this young man. But, you know, the Lord just gave him that dream. And it was awesome. It was just, here's a young guy, and he didn't quite understand it. And he called me up, you know, and actually his sister told him to call me, and he called me up, shared the dream, and it was a, you know, opportunity for me to really talk about dying to self and putting, you know, and it turned out to be an awesome conversation.
Praise God.
So that was kind of a neat testimony that the Lord did in this young man's life.
Oh man, yeah. It could have been anybody else he called but you, but he chose.
Oh, I know. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And that's what God does. That's the way God works. He's going to get the truth out there. When people are seeking the truth fervently, he's going to guide them in the right direction. That's been, You know, since I was a baby Christian, just a little testimony here. I've asked the Lord in my prayer time, I've always asked the Lord, Lord, please don't allow me to be deceived. And through the years, he's done that. He's led me through all of that apostate religion and all of that garbage there and brought me into the truth by the word and also through UBM Ministries and what God has shared with David and other people as well. And God's been faithful to do that. And so I would adjure you to ask the Lord, please, Lord, don't allow me to be deceived by any kind of false teaching. And he'll do it. He said he would. All right, anybody else? Well,
Michael, this is just a weather report. We're having a lot of tanker jets going over today. Not as bad as maybe a city, but just I heard something and I looked up overhead and here's a tanker jet a whole lot lower than 30,000-40,000 feet, and you know they're getting low enough so you can make out parts of the plane quite well. So I just pray each time.
You say it's a tanker jet?
Well, you know the chemtrailers.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, they're like some of the other folks around, you know, have said they're you know basically becoming crop dusters. They're getting so low.
Oh yeah, we can I can see it readily now. In fact, yesterday I was sitting out on the back deck and I looked up and man, you could just see the stuff falling out of the sky. They had come in there so close. I mean, it was just falling. You could see it falling out of the sky. But you know what? Malcolm, we pray that stuff neutralized. That's what we do. We pray it to be neutralized. And not only that, we pray in that the airplanes and the jets will be broken. We're praying all kinds of things against those chemtrails. And God's honoring that, you know. Since the first, here a little while back, we had about a couple of months there, 2 or 3 months there, that people were getting the crud and all of that stuff. And it seems that with prayer, we have broken that cycle. Praise God. I knew the first time that I had it for 3 days and it was tough, but I persevered and I said, I'm not going to let this stuff keep me down. I'd get up out of bed and go do the things that God had me doing at the time. And mine lasted 3 days. And I knew after those 3 days, that I was not going to get it again. The Lord told me that. He said, this is it. You won't have, you've been inoculated. So praise God, been vaccinated against that stuff. So praise God. And the way you get vaccinated is through faith, right? That's something else that we're seeing is that God is answering our prayers. When there's concerted effort to pray against something, if you get a warning from God, And you call up a brother or sister or brothers and sisters to pray with you, guess what? God's going to honor that. He's honoring people's prayers now immediately, it seems like. I mean, within a little bit, those prayers are being answered. And he told us that here, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago. We got a word from the word that God was going to start honoring his prophecies. And his words of knowledge or his wisdom, and also the dreams and visions were going to come true quickly, and also the prayers were going to be answered almost immediately. And we're seeing it happen even as we speak. David and I have come against the weather here a number of times. I can't tell you how many times we've prayed against it. We've told the weather that was headed right straight for us, and it seemed like it was a solid line from Kentucky all the way down to Alabama across the state of Tennessee. Didn't look like any way that it could miss us. And we'd pray the prayer of faith and command those storms to go north and south of us. Guess what happened? It'd be a little bit of an opening that come right over us that was clear. And we wouldn't see any of it. We wouldn't see any storms or anything. So that's what God is doing now. So start praying for those things that you, those chemtrails. Pray against them, for goodness sake. Pray that the chemicals themselves would be neutralized and that the planes would shut down and not operate anymore over your place or any of the places where you've got friends and brothers and sisters at, then God will honor it.
Yeah, Michael, pretty soon we'll be doing the proactive weather reporting.
The weatherman is confounded, I'm telling you. he'll say we've got 100% chance of rain, and it won't rain. We did that with snow this past. The first time it happened was when we had that big snowstorm coming our way, you know. And we prayed against that snowstorm. And y'all remember my testimony about that thing went north and south of us. Praise God. It's just like these rain storms on thunderstorms that have been headed our way. I don't know. We've had a half a dozen of them that we've prayed out of here. So you can't, you know, you can tell somebody else that prayer doesn't work, but you can't tell me and David, I guarantee you, or anybody in the fellowship here that has seen answer to prayer, all kinds of prayer. We've seen cars fixed. We've seen gasoline put in cars. I don't know, just all kinds of things. Just anything that you can think of that you didn't want to spend money on, God fixes it. That's just the way God is. He loves to back up his promises in the Word of God to those who are faithful to believe. Amen. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Last 2 days, I've just been working in the yard, and I've just been amazed at the it seems like these tanker jets. I mean, I've just been kind of watching them. I never really paid much attention to them, but lately, the last couple of days, I was just in the yard and I was just watching, and I'm just seeing them lay down these trails, and these things just keep growing and growing and growing. And today I looked off to the distance, and I could see row after row of these clouds, but I could tell they were chemtrails, but they were so thick and so big. And then above me, the sky was blue, but then there was like three jets lined up just laying these trails down. And, you know, I'd be working a while, and all of a sudden I'd look up, and these trails would grow, and it was just like, I mean, they were just like clouding over the whole sky. I was just amazed at, just what they're doing up there. I've just never seen that before. But,
talking about that, I've seen them way up high. Be a little bitty thin cloud going across the sky, and the next thing you know, that thing spreads out. By the time it gets to you, it's covered most of the sky. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, that's what I was watching. I was just amazed at how they were just kind of blanketing the sky and how fast they were growing. So,
I was today in Montana. They covered the whole sky. The whole sky looked like cloud cover, and it was a beautiful blue day. They covered it to the point you couldn't even see anything but partly here and there a little blue. And I'm just amazed at this. And when I was in the cities in California, it was even worse.
Wow.
I think that, well, I know they're targeting the population areas more than they are the wilderness areas of the United States. Boy, it's just amazing to watch them. It's just amazing. But we don't have to worry about it. We're in the ark of Christ, and God's got us protected.
Amen. Hey, I do have a testimony. I just remembered. I was over at Marvin's today, and he's kind of a new believer, and but he had somebody at work. I don't know how long ago it was, but he had somebody at work that their grandchild had, it was life-threatening, something happening with their grandchild. And he brought it, I think he brought it to you and David, and he told her that he was going to bring it to the fellowship, and we're going to lift it up in prayer. And we ended up, lifting this child up in prayer, and he shared with me today that the lady came to him and said, this little kid had a miraculous turnaround and is doing fine. And she thanked him for the prayers. And she said it's just a miracle, you know, because they weren't giving him much hope. And, you know, I mean, the kid just turned right around. So he shared today. So it's just, I mean, it's just so awesome to see the answered prayers and see the power of God. So, but he was all excited because he just knew he's seeing answered prayers and he's seeing God work, and you know, it's building his faith. And he was bold enough. I mean, he's this lady's boss, and she had, you know, she was kind of downtrodden, and you know, she kind of, he asked her what was up, and she shared it with him, and he was, you know, she was surprised that her boss had compassion, and ended up saying, you know, he was going to bring it to prayer, and you know, have the fellowship pray for this child, so she came back to him, I guess, you know, recently, and was just all excited because, I mean, it was just a miracle. So we just thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Well, Jackie had something similar to that, didn't you, Jackie? Wasn't that your niece that had some problems there?
Hello, yes, sir. Shannon.
Yeah, and, Shannon.
Yes, sir. I can share another testimony. She saw the wound doctor today. She's been going once a week, and she went this morning, and they debrided her wounds. She has really deep wounds in her abdomen area and in her groin and near her buttocks, and he was extremely pleased with them, and she has several of them, and the one that's higher up on her abdomen had closed completely, praise the Lord, and she doesn't need a packet anymore, and he looked today and said it looks beautiful, and he said it's healing up just perfect, and apparently she was told the statistics for this flesh-eating bacteria that she was told she had is, I think, 700 or 750 people in all of the United States contract it each year, so it's not real common. And they actually, at the hospital where she was, I think this was only the third case, and we live near, you know, a big city down here, so it's not like we're in a small, you know, country town like you guys are. But anyway, I just praise God for her testimony. She's still struggling with a lot of pain, and I guess when they go inside, you know, her wounds to debride them, it's causing her a lot of discomfort. But she's handling it real well, and she's still praising God. She's still young in her walk, and just believing for her. But it is a miracle because when she went into the hospital, they spoke, you know, bad things over her, not thinking she would even make it. And then she had three surgeries within 8 days, and she was in the ICU and came out of the ICU. After the second day, they took her off the respirator, and she was in a regular room. And then she was supposed to be in for, I think, about 10 days. And 10 days passed where they had discharged her from, and she ended up coming home, like, I think it was 7 or 8 days earlier than they had expected. And she's just doing remarkably well, and I give God all the praise. I just thank him so much for his favor and his hand upon her life, and just for the mercy that he's shown her, and just the encouragement that he gives her, and just the way he's just loving on her, and how he's preparing her heart, and she's receiving it. And it's little steps and little seeds sown, but I just praise God that that he's drawing her to her through all of this. I'm just so happy, but it is a miracle. And each week I know I'm standing in faith for her and casting down some things they speak over her, and some things in the natural that they're expecting, and I'm just not receiving them for her, and I'm just believing and telling her to just take it one day at a time with Jesus. And that's all we can do, is wake up and pray for grace for that day, and you know, thank God, you know, and just praise Him and just get through the day and then wake up tomorrow and do it all over again. So, thank you, everybody, for praying and believing with me.
Amen. And praise you, Lord, for Shannon's speedy recovery.
Amen. And she's going to be on here. I know she will, given her testimony, because I did mention it, and she was very receptive. So the Lord will work out the timing for that, I'm sure.
Amen. Well, we praise you, Lord, for Shannon's quick recovery. And in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that pain that she's experiencing. She's not under the curse. In the name of Jesus, we command the pain to go from her in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that it's even going to be quicker than she even imagined that she's going to get over this, because she is going to be a testimony to your grace and your forgiveness and your love for her, Lord. And we thank you for it. And she's going to be able to give this testimony, and people's lives will be changed because of it, Father, because of your great mercy and your grace upon her, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father. May I praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you so much. He's just so merciful. It's just so awesome.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, Missy, you'll be heading down here this week, won't you? She's sleeping.
I had to unmute. No, oh. I had to unmute.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Okay, so how long will it take you?
Well, Cliff, well,
are you flying down or are you driving?
No, I'm driving.
Okay.
You want to pay my way? if I fly? Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the drive, so. But anyway,
All right. Well, you be safe.
Pray about that. Yeah.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for being with Missy all the way down here, Lord. And let it be a quick time for her because of your presence inside the car with her, Lord. Let it be a time of praise and worship and reflecting on the things of you, Lord. And let it be a time of a great testimony when she gets here because of what you've done on the way down here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And protect her, Lord, all the way down here. We thank you, Lord, for just putting a capsule all the way around her and protecting her. Not one scratch on that car or her all the way down. And thank you, Lord, that car is going to perform wonderfully. She's going to get great gas mileage. And it's going to be a quick trip because she's going to have her mind and her thoughts on you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's going to take close to 9 hours, but with, you know, stopping and getting gas and just taking a break now and then, maybe like 10. It just depends. It just depends on, so.
Okay.
Probably we'll have to get something to eat.
Okay. You're going to be over at Blenders?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, boy. Me in the compound.
No.
All right. Praise God.
You made that sound like a fenced-in area.
Amen.
We're free. We're free.
Yeah, somebody came up with that name, and it just stuck. They tried to get rid of it, but it's just stuck.
Well,
they're fixing to get a new addition. They're fixing to get a new addition over into the compound, too.
Yeah, I heard Amber.
Yeah, Amber's going over there. She'll be over there Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I'm guessing I'm Miss needed to help with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll let you.
You'll let me, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll insist that we let you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, all right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Anything else they'd like to share? Missy, we'll have time to talk with you when you get here. Anything else anyone like to share? Bring forth. Praise report. Prayer time, anything. Malcolm, I didn't know that you had been over to Nepal. How long had you been over to Nepal?
9 years.
9 years? Were you there?
67 to 76. Of course, the first American expedition, I think, it was before that, and the staging ground that they started from was right outside the hospital where my dad ended up working. So they started out with 1,000 porters. But, you know, back in those days, expeditions were more like, army maneuvers. I mean, it was huge battle, you know. So they set off. Mind you, these trails are, there's no infrastructure to handle these kind of crowds, and so they'd send off 100 porters every 10 minutes. So it really has quite an impact on the area. But my brother and I have been up almost to base camp. I got up to the base of Kelopitar, which is just a few thousand feet away from base camp where this avalanche came down. So, but when I was there, it was in January, I think late January, but there were constant avalanches going on. It was kind of overcast and foggy when we were there, which is a real bummer. You couldn't see Everest or any of the mountains around there. You could see the Khumbu Glacier, this really gorgeous aqua blue, but these avalanches, you just hear this thunder on your left and then on your right, and it's just this constant thundering going on around you. And it takes a while to kind of get used to it. But the people that were involved in this avalanche said it was, they had never, ever seen anything like it. Of course, it was a huge block of ice that dropped off between the mountain Pomori and, I forget the name of the other mountain, there's kind of a saddle there. And this enormous block of ice dropped off and dropped about 2,600 feet. Almost straight down part of the way. So it was really sad because the blast of wind from that, the impact of that, just people that dove into their tents, the blast of wind just picked the tents up, and a lot of those people were killed. So,
well, how many people were killed in that avalanche?
Oh, well, at least 18. It was a weird avalanche because base camp was on the horizontal where everything was going, but the speed of everything was so fast there was no time for anybody to do anything. It was overcast and hazy, and you could kind of see up maybe a few hundred feet up the hillside, but there was no time to realize what had happened and where to run. People are, in the videos I've seen, people are just kind of running helter skelter in no particular direction that would help anybody. So,
I see. Were these all kinds of people or Americans?
Well, you know, base camp is, they have a lot of, it's very popular, and it's kind of the base for a lot of the expeditions going up Everest. So they had many different teams with all their tents and whatnot down in this. It's on all this rock, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of to the left of the Khumbu Glacier. So, yeah, but I've been there. It's bringing back a lot of memories, and when I was there, the altitude kind of affected me, and I remember some of us got together, and we were reading our Bibles, and we're praying, and I just started crying for no reason. It was just, got real emotional, and there was no reason to do that. It was just, the elevation was kind of affecting us. It was only 16,000 feet where we were, so it wasn't like, it's just we weren't real used to it.
Well, you're apparently your parents were missionaries.
Yeah, at Vanipa, it's a hospital there, 32,000. I mean, yeah, 32,000, 32 bed hospital at the time.
Yeah.
So that was way back when. It's a lot bigger now, and the hospital wasn't too badly. I don't know if it was damaged at all from the earthquake. But 100 people were killed in the town, Bonipa, right nearby there.
Yeah. Well, I heard or read the earthquake that hit over there. At last count I heard was about 1,300, well over 1,300 were killed.
Yeah, no, oh. it's over 4,000 now.
Is it? Okay.
That they have accounted for, but I'm sure it's going to be a whole lot higher than that, because a lot of this, you know, some parts of Kathmandu is just this old brick, and the streets are so narrow, and it just kind of, you know, all the people in the street were just kind of buried with all this brick coming down. I mean, there's nowhere to go. Kind of, you know, it's really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were up below Namche Bazaar, and we happened to run into this very nice gentleman and his wife and his wife's mother, and my mother afterwards, she was acting kind of interestingly. I couldn't understand why she was doing that and or acting that way. And we got, you know, once they were out of sight, my mother goes, "You know who that was?" "No, that was Sir Edmund Hillary." But he was the most gracious person. He really had a huge impact in the Khumbu area. So I really have admired him. So.
Oh, you got to meet him?
Yeah. We met him there in 67.
Yeah.
On the trail there going up to Namche Bazaar, which is kind of the business hub of the area.
Yeah. A little controversy with him and Hillary Clinton.
Of course,
you heard
dead
about
now.
That, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. She claimed at one point, that her mother named her after Sir Edmund Hillary.
Oh, really?
Well, she claimed that, but come to find out, she was born after Sir Edmund was
knighted.
Knighted.
Yeah.
After he was knighted, so it was a lie. And then Bill, after she disclaimed it, she told the story that her mother had told her that and that her mother had lied about it. And she blamed it all on her mom. And then Bill put it in his book that that's what happened, that she was named after Sir Edmund Hillary. It's just a mess.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, you know, you tell one lie, you get caught in another.
Well, I have to say I really admire him. He did so much for the Sherpas up there. We walked in 67, after we met him, we went to past Namche Bazaar. We went over, I think it was Kumjin, behind there. And there's a little hospital he had established had a doctor and nurse. And, you know, it was pretty cool for that elevation and, you know, totally remote in those days. And then we came down to a little school that he established, and walking to this little tiny schoolhouse, and, you know, mind you, this, you know, you have stone, I mean, you're way back in the totally different culture, and everything's freezing cold, and walking to the schoolroom, and here's encyclopedias of all things. I mean, you, for us is, you know, that was, what? Are you kidding? Encyclopedias way up here? So anyway, he did so much to help people there. It was just.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're getting we're running out of time here.
A little off the topic here, I think.
Well, yeah, but that's interesting. I didn't know that your parents were missionaries over there until just now. But that's,
my heart's
that's
there, you know. And one thing that there's an experience I had. I guess I could describe. There's, we stayed at Tengwiche, which is a monastery. It's a kind of a plateau. Well, it's a kind of a ridge. With some buildings up there in a monastery, and we stayed in this guest house on the second trip, I think, second or third trip up there. It's at almost 13,000 feet there, and we were there for a few days. But I remember one night I had to go to the bathroom, and you know, when you're cold and you're asleep, we just had feather sleeping bags, which didn't cut it at the elevation. But, I mean, people didn't know back then. They were very limited. But anyway, I had to get out of my sleeping bag, and there was an outhouse out there. And Tengwiche, the ridge is situated so that you can see mountains all the way around, because the ridge kind of goes out from the side of a group of mountains,
and it kind of goes out. And it's a really good perspective to see the mountains around there. But so here was at nighttime, and so as I went out to the toward the outhouse, the stars were so bright. It was just this incredible, surreal view. And I stood there trying to take this in. It was like a vision, and the mountains, all the mountains around me, towering around me, seemed like they were leaning toward me, and I could reach out and touch them. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced something like that, but and even years later, I used to think about that and just break into tears, because I felt like in the middle of this Buddhist situation and all the garbage going on there and the terrible the way people were prisoner to this religion, it's the demonic, it's like the demons had taken over the area, you know, like there were money walls everywhere, and it's hard to describe, it's just everywhere. But here I was in the middle of all this with these bright, bright stars overhead. You could see clear as a bell without a flashlight just from the stars. And I remember I felt like these are the same stars that Abraham saw. You know, here I was, I don't know, 12 or something. But for years and years and years, ever since then, that experience has stood out to me as a kind of a pivotal point in my life. It was like this, the Lord just showed me something that was just phenomenal. Anyway.
Amen. Well, you painted a pretty good picture. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment before we close out?
Yes, this is Wade.
Wade?
Some of our neighbors here in the village have accepted the Lord, a blind lady, and I say accept the Lord, that they went and got baptized. A blind lady and a friend of ours, Vanessa, and I gave them the book Sovereign God, and she says she's read it. It doesn't seem to be, I'm hoping that it takes, because it doesn't seem to be any change, but I'm sure she wanted to get the book back, and I'm saying, I want her to read it again. But pray for her. Her name is Vanessa, and the blind lady is named Jane Cole. I want to see them mature in the Lord and grow faster than I, and not have to travel the route I took. But Vanessa Rowe, I think, is the lady's name, but her first name is Vanessa. Just got to pray for her, and that she could reach. Okay.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up both these ladies to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're drawing them to you. Lord, we thank you that you're going to open up the Sovereign God to them this next time they read it, Lord, and they're going to see revelation after revelation after revelation. And it's going to, I ask, Lord, that you open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears of hearing to understand Sovereign God, Lord. And I pray that you will, Lord. And I ask that you grant repentance to them, Father, to come into the kingdom because of what they're reading, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord. We're going to hear a good testimony from Wade about these two ladies in Jesus' name.
Yes,
thank you, Lord, for drawing them to you and granting repentance to them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that tonight has been a blessed time. Lord, I know we got a little bit off subject tonight, but that's okay. I praise you for the time of teaching and the time of reflecting about where we are and what you've got planned for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in everybody's heart and all of our hearts, Lord, to run after you with all of our heart. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I'm thanking Lord for Thursday night's conference call, and it's going to be a night of praise. It's going to be a night of testimonies. It's going to be a night of the miracles that you have shown us this week. And I praise you, Lord, for being with us, giving us a good night's sleep tonight, and placing it in our hearts to pray continually. without ceasing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, folks, and God bless you. We love you.